All right, we're finishing in Matthew. We stopped last time at verse number 23. We talked about a parable of the sower. And remember, how many different types of soil were there? Yes, Dan?
I have an email.
Oh, you got an email, too. There were four types of soil. Right, go ahead, email, go ahead, Dan.
Pastor, warm greetings to you and to all our BFT church family. Glad to see Anne Marie has arrived safely in Collingswood. Thank you for tonight's Bible study. In his love, Carl and Vicki. And there's a smiley face with a wave.
Good. We're waving. Carl and Vicki up there. And I guess I can't see us, Dan. There we are. We're waving. Fine. Thank you for your email. Appreciate that. Any more you have, Tammy?
No.
Any more for now? All right. So last week was the sower that went forth to sow. Who is the sower in this parable?
Jesus.
Lord Jesus Christ himself. What was they sowing? What was the seed that was sown?
The gospel.
The word of God was being sown. As I said before, how many types of soil were there?
Four.
And what were those types?
Stony
soil.
Wayside
soil. Thorny soil. And this soil. Okay.
And a good soil.
That's good. Yes, Julie, how are you?
Hi, Pastor. Doing okay.
Good.
I'm going to call and say hello and everyone that's on the internet as well. And thank you, Lord, for that internet being available to us.
Yes.
And also, thank you for giving Anne Marie safe travel. Good to see her there again.
Yes, now, Tim, Julie, did your doctor help you with your back and how things come?
He said to wait and see how things go in the next couple of days. So we'll
okay. Well, that's good. He gave you some exercise, I think. We keep praying for it, Julie.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Lord bless you. Let's wave to Julie back there. All the way in Pennsylvania. That's good. So the different soils that we did in sort of a hurry, what were they again? Let's start with one.
Wayside.
Two.
Stony.
Three.
Thorny.
And four.
It's a good soil.
Good. Which of those four are the best soils?
Good
soils. Okay, and they brought forth some fruit all the same type?
No.
Same quantity?
Nope.
What were the quantities?
Some 30, some 30, 60, 60, and some 100.
Some 100. So it affects different people, and just like when you plant things, it comes up some more fruit than others. And so, as believers, we should have fruit for the Lord. But then we go down to verse 24. Let's read 24, 25, and 26 together. Another parable, 44th under them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth the fruit, then appeared the tares also. All right, this parable was difficult perhaps to apply, but we certainly can understand what he's saying. What again did we say a parable was?
Earthly story of heavenly meaning.
So, and remember why the Lord talked to the multitudes in parables. Why did he do that?
They wouldn't understand.
Well, as in Isaiah, hearing they won't hear, seeing they can't see. But to the disciples, he explained it. So a parable saying the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man that sowed good seed in his field. What type of seed could it be other than good seed?
Evil.
It could have been evil seed. Different kind of seed that was not fruit bearing. I understand that a certain kind of seed that you have and you keep it and you can sow it the next year. Corn, I'm not a farmer, but I understand it. But this is good seed. Seed that would reproduce.
What verse are we on?
24. Matthew 13, 24. And then verse 25, why is this conjunction, adversative conjunction, but here?
Why what?
The contrary.
Why is the word but here? A contrary, that's right. In other words, this should be nice. He sowed that field with good seed. You think everything would be wonderful. But something happened. That's interesting. While men slept. There's a book was written by that, While Men Slept. It talks about how socialism and communism came into our country. I don't remember who the author was. You remember who the author?
There's a book by Fanon, While Men Slept.
Yeah. The different ones, and of course, now, why do you think he puts it while men slept?
No one was watching.
No one was watching. Did they?
Because the sower of the evils, or the sower of the terrors, is Satan. Now Satan doesn't come right out in the light. He does all of his work in the darkness and slips in unnoticed.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, he slips in the night while people are sleeping.
That's very tricky, isn't it? Very tricky. And he sowed what kind of seed?
Tares.
That's the tares. What is a tare? How would you define a tare?
A weed.
What is it?
A weed.
Be like a weed. Yeah, Dick?
The word, I think, is darnel. Uh-huh. And it's a type of plant that looks exactly like wheat, mm-hmm. at least in its early stages. But as it matures, where the wheat becomes a golden seed pod, mm-hmm. the tares become actually black. Mm-hmm. And so, but in the process of growing up, they apparently are hard to distinguish. And also, their roots apparently entangle the roots of the good plants. Mm-hmm. And so that's why it's not wise to try to remove them until mm-hmm. the harvest.
So that's the tares among the wheat. Now notice this evil person, and as you say, Dick, this is probably the devil, certainly he wants to have evil seed. And then what did the evil enemy do after he sowed the tares at night while men slept? In verse 25, what did he do then? What did he do?
He went away.
He didn't want to be caught with this situation, just very stealthily.
I heard a commercial on television. There's a kind of grass seed that's completely 100% grass seed. And it says, not like this other company, that in the grass seed it's not 100% grass seed. Mm-hmm. So it reminds me of this.
Uh-huh. Reminds you just a sort of a fake or funny type of a seed?
I can't remember the names of it, but it's an advertisement for the 100% grass.
Now, when two things are almost alike, what does that remind you of in the countless number of churches in America, the United States, all over the world, as far as churches? Are there similarities that seem like wheat, and yet the people that are tares? Are there?
The whole church?
Different churches. Different churches. The modernistic liberal churches, the Roman Catholic churches. Are they genuine born-again Christians, all of them?
No.
No, but they go and they look many times. A lot of tares. This is a parable, I think, that makes us to wonder, who is it that sowed the seed, and are they genuine? Dr. Ketchum used to say that his estimate was somewhere in the 90% of things that people that were in big churches were lost. They professed Christ, it's on a very high percent. Dr. David Otis Fuller had a similar high percentage, 90 or 95%. He felt that the churches, these big churches, and these big churches are lost. Not saved. That's a high percentage, but these men that made these statements, I have no way to prove that one way or another, but it's very easy to be a phony Christian in a big church, am I right? You can just go to church and say, oh, everything, but it's not true. Who knows? Only the Lord knows their hearts.
Well, in this case, it was especially interesting because Israel was involved with the law, and the law was basically a works religion. And anybody that did the proper works, brought the proper sacrifices and so forth, it was harder to tell which ones were real and which ones were not in a situation like, well, more so than it is today.
Mm-hmm. So this evil enemy came into a wonderful field that had just been sort of a wonderful seed and wanted to destroy it and make fakes and phonies and intersperse. And what did the Lord Jesus do in his 12 disciples to make a fake? What did he do? Who did he choose?
Judas.
Looked the same? See, but I think that's a reason. I think he did that to show that we've got to be very careful. All they say, all that glitters is not gold. And all just because he's selected, I think he was selected for that purpose, so we could see that there's some that the Lord chooses, apparently, but then he wasn't generally one of his. And we've got to be very careful to look at these things, is it true wheat or is it darnel or tares? And so the enemy wants to sow these things and mix things up. And verse 26, when the blade sprang up, what did it bring forth?
Fruit.
And that appeared, the tares also. So in other words, the good fruit came up, the tares came up, they both came up together. And if Dick is correct in what he says, that one has got a different color than the other when it comes up, and the one gets the roots of the other, tries to destroy the roots. It's an interesting comparison. Let's go on to verse... Yeah, Dick, something else.
This could also be an illustration of the way Satan can sow discord in the church and with the brethren.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And that's what he loves to do. He loves to sow discord and upset good churches and good people, and he loves to do that. Why does read verse 27, 28, and 29 together? And so the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then have the tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then, if we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. All right, so the servants of the householder. What is a householder?
Householder. Someone that owns property.
Owns property.
Is the master.
Master, probably it was his field. And what did the householder, the servants, what did they say to the householder? What question did they ask him?
Didn't you sow good seed in my field?
And the answer would be what?
Yes.
Yes, he did sow good seed. But then they went on to say, from whence had the tares? So they could tell, the servants of the householder, those that worked for him, knew the land, they knew what a tare was, and a wheat was, they knew what all these things were, and asked, where did this, from whence? Where did the tares come from? And did the master know?
Yes, he did.
He did know, see?
He did.
And verse 28, he knew exactly where it came from. And he knew it was an enemy. Now, why would an enemy, I wonder, come to spoil the whole harvest of this farmer, or this husbandman? It's a strange thing, isn't it? Why would he do that, Yvonne?
He was jealous of the farmer. He didn't want him to succeed.
Probably jealous, didn't want him to succeed. And probably in his own farm, he had good wheat, but he came here and he sowed this, sort of make it so he wouldn't be able to sell this crop and make it very bad indeed. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or give us an email. Say hello or have a question or just say, yeah, greet us. So then an enemy had done this. He knew that. And then, what did the servants ask the householder next? What did they want to do?
Wilt thou go and gather them up?
Yes, they want to go and gather up the what would they gather up? Probably the tares or maybe the wheat, whatever. What did the master or the householder say? What was the answer to that in verse 20?
No.
Why? What was the danger? What was the danger?
You can gather up the good with the bad.
The good with the bad. That's a very bad danger. Yes, Rob, how are you?
I'm good, Master. I just called to say hi. I too, a Canadian contingent. Glad to have you and see you.
Good, contingent. All right. She's looked a little contingent. See, all right, that's fine. Well, that's good, Rob. I appreciate your call. And
I just want to say to the Bible for today, workers, I got my package very quickly. Case of Bibles.
Good.
It Monday, got it today.
Good. Came fast.
And on the Wild Man Slept, that book is by Kirby Fannin, and I ordered it last week, and I got that yesterday.
Well, that's very interesting. Very interesting. There's another writer, I can't think of his name.
Wild
Man Slept. Sort of a...
It's a New American People.
It's a political book.
It's American, like constitutional book.
New American People?
Yeah.
Well, I'll put that up, too. And I'll find that, and I'll let you know.
Yeah, okay.
Also in Matthew 13:25 in the Darby translation, he wrote, the wild men slept, his enemy came and sowed darnel.
The darnel, that's what Dick Carroll said, that darnel, that's the word for it. Yes.
That's what Darby translated in his translation.
Okay, well, thanks a lot, Rob. We'll wave to you. Thank you for calling.
How about you? Thank you, Matt.
Let's wave to Rob over there in Chicago. Very good. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. So the answer, should we go and gather them up? The tares, the wheat, so on. What does the master say again in verse 29? What was his answer?
No.
What was his reason? Why not?
Gather them at the same time.
Okay, so we'll see that a little bit later. Lest when you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with it. Sometimes you can sort out the good and bad, am I right? But if you, for instance, go to a multi-million dollar hotel or place to eat or sleep, big hotels, big mansions, they have a lot of good food. And a lot of times people don't eat the food, so they throw it out. And they've got a lot of good food in these big canisters and barrels. But with the food is the bad food as well as the good. So trying to get the good food out of there, you could be contaminated with the bad food. That's similar to this. And so that's the trouble with the manuscripts, I think, in Alexandria, Egypt. That's where the Vatican and Sinai Gnostic manuscripts arrived and were from, and they had all this bad thing, and so the good manuscripts, in fact, they found none. In fact, the man up there in Princeton said he couldn't find any conservative manuscripts in Alexander, Egypt in the first and second centuries. They're all bad, and it's a bad seed, so the good seed wasn't there any longer. Well, anyway, be that as it may, so you don't want to root up the good with the bad. That's what he says in verse 29. Now, let's read 30. Yes, Dick.
That's something like the saying, throw out the baby with the bathwater.
Yeah, that's right. That's the saying. You can't do, it hurts. The bathwater is bad, but the baby's good, and you can't do the same thing. You've got to be very careful.
I wonder why that saying never got started. Who would throw a baby out? Keep a baby in the bathwater.
Well, I suppose when you've got some evil things like good dirty water, you want to throw that out, but you've got to be careful.
Can't find the baby in the dirty water.
Well,
I don't know. Take the baby out first.
That's what I would do. Yes, you've got to be careful. See, that's what you've got to be very careful.
But that's,
yeah, Dan?
I think that's the point of the statement as far as not throwing the baby out the bathwater. Yes, the bathwater is dirty.
Right.
But you want it, the baby certainly has value. The dirty bathwater has no value.
Right.
So, but a lot of times people, they just come through and they smash everything, and in doing so, they lose the baby as well. We wouldn't want to throw a baby away, certainly not.
Right.
But the point, the thinking of the time, especially with the tares and the wheat, later, you know, there's later on we're going to see what the tares represent, the wheat represents, mm-hmm. who the sowers are, and so forth. But they have to be kept together for the time mm-hmm. being. Otherwise, the good stuff, the wheat, is going to be destroyed.
Mm-hmm. I have a baby from the bathwater story. A gentleman, 2-3 days ago, had a very antagonistic email he wrote me, and, you know, he apparently differs with me as to whether the Christians should know anything about what's going on in the world. Just keep it quiet, just be Bible, that's all. And I said, well, if you're not interested in that, I'll take you off your email. I said, I don't want to bother you with anything, you know. So I did. 2-3 days. And then today, he wrote me and said, I miss your preaching. He didn't agree with some of the other things. He missed the preaching, which put me back on. I put him back on the air. I said, welcome back. So, in other words, you want to, you know, there's certain things when you throw the whole thing out, then you don't get anything, see. So, that's what maybe the bathwater, but I'm glad that he's back with us and
Pastor,
he preaches. Yes, ma'am.
Explain that you offer a preaching every day on your thing. You know, they click on there. He probably doesn't know he can get it someplace else.
Right, that's right. He misses that, so very interesting. But, you know, you can't, you don't always. Now, I had another man today. We sent out an email today on the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, which we believe and very strongly hold to in our church. And this man wrote a very vociferous, antagonistic, no, it's horrible for anyone. Well, I didn't answer. I just, you know, saved it, but I didn't say anything. But so different people have different views on different things. And so he didn't say, throw me out and take me off. So I haven't taken him off. So maybe he's going to continue with some of the other things that we preach on and so on. So babies and bathwater. All right, so let them grow together. All right, verse 20, 30, 31, and 32. Let's read those three together. Let both grow together until the harvest. At the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable put ye forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field. But redeemed is the least of all seeds, for when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. So at verse number 30, the master said what? What was the answer to this problem about tares and wheat?
Leave them alone.
Leave them alone.
Both grow together.
Now when they grow together, what's going to be manifest?
It'll show up.
It'll show up. See, you can't tell at the beginning, initial stages, but when it grows up, you see the fruit, you can see the difference, and go after them, and what are you going to do with these tares? Who's it going to do first, the wheat or the tares? What's he going to get first?
The tares.
So why do you suppose you're going to get the tares first for the wheat?
I don't know.
Maybe there are more tares, maybe there are less tares, maybe fewer tares.
Well, the tares are what's bad.
Right.
And so he's going to remove the bad first, and then he's going to go after what's the real food.
Mm-hmm. So it's wise, I think, to get rid of evil first and throw out the bad, and then you have whatever's left is good. So that was his decision. root up also the wheat then with them. Let's be careful, verse 29, but let the grow together till the harvest, and say to the reapers, gather first the tares. What are you going to do with the tares?
I'm going
to burn them. By tying them among those to burn them. What about the wheat? What are you going to do with the wheat?
You just leave it there for a while.
All right, leave it a while. Put it into my barn. All right, then in verse 30, there's another parable. So the wheat and the tares is the parable that's mentioned here before this other parable in verse 31. Any other comments on the wheat and the tares?
I guess maybe it's showing that, you know, there's people that come to church and they say they're Christian and everything, but if enough time, it'll show up whether they are or not.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And that's what that's about.
Yes, a lot of times people say a lot of things that they're Christians. They say that, like I've said before many times, as we went to the Methodist Church as a boy, my mom had us to go there, and we'd say the Apostles' Creed, and everybody else would say the Apostles' Creed, but that doesn't make you a Christian if they say, I believe in, you know, all these things. God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, and his only Son, Jesus Christ, but you don't have it in your heart, it's just the same word. And so a lot of people think that they're saved, and think they're born again, but they're not. And there's a definite difference in it. They seem the same. They may say the same things that you say. They may sing the same hymns, but they're generally not saved or born again. But this next parable, verse 31. This other parable, grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed his field. Now, it tells us, verse 32, that we haven't read that yet, but let's read 32, 33, and 34 to get the background of this mustard seed. Which indeed is the least of all seeds, for when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. All right, so a little mustard seeds. I think when we were in Israel, my mom and dad sent me over there, my wife and I over there, to Israel. I think he showed us a mustard seed. And it showed us a tree.
We saw, but it was more like a bush.
Like a big bush, yeah.
It had pretty yellow flowers on it. It was real pretty.
So it's a little seed, but it grows when it's big. What does that show us?
What
is that statement about the oak?
Oh, a little.
The oak tree.
Small.
That's right. Big oaks from little acorns grow. Big oaks from little acorns grow. So this is the little seed from where it's developed. It's big and it's large. So this is true of evil as well as good, I suppose, is it not? It starts little, but it goes big. Satan's endeavors that are tiny, but they're massive when they get to the end. And so little things, what did it say about, the Lord said about the little things, faithful in that which is least, what does it say then? Faithful also in that which is much. But unjust in the least, unjust also in the much. So see, this is it's a picture of things that sometimes make a difference. Yes, Henry?
Pastor Wood, I'm just wondering, is that normal growth or is that abnormal growth? Like a mustard seed, mm-hmm. Does it grow into a big tree? Or is this abnormal growth?
Well, according to the man that was the spokesman there in Palestine, Israel, he said that's a normal thing, is it not, honey?
Oh, I remember
it's a bush. It's a tree, but in a sense, a tree, it's a big, not a little tiny thing.
I don't understand it either,
but apparently it's not an abnormal part of the man. He didn't say it was an abnormal thing, but
I understand, Red, that the mustard tree is not very tall. It's just, it is more of a bush.
Yeah.
But the thing is that it apparently grows very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And that is has some meaning here with the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Maybe if it started out with very small, with, say, like John the Baptist preaching repentance to Israel, and then it grew in the 3 years of Christ's ministry, it grew and grew. But because then later on here he says the birds of the air roosted in it,
mm-hmm.
And the birds of the air always have a bad connotation, like they did in the seeds by the wayside.
Yes.
And so the fact that the kingdom gospel was growing, but at the same time the birds of the air, being Satan's emissaries, were penetrating it and trying to stop it from being spread.
Yeah. Yes, when it's grown, it's raised among herbs, come with a tree, and as you say, the birds of the air came to lodge in the branches. And these are usually considered bad, these birds of the air, always usually the bad, evil things, like satanic demon things. Yes, Emery?
Could that be what people are doing now when they're trying to build the kingdom of the gospel now?
Maybe.
And they're making it look like it's the real thing,
mm-hmm.
but it's got an abnormal growth. They want lots of people, and
mm-hmm.
And so it isn't the truth.
Yes, that's good. Like Rick Warren, it's for the little gospel, just mostly people, numbers. That's what it's interested in, numbers. Thousands and thousands of numbers.
I mean, I would think perhaps, no matter if it's a tree or a bush, it's a substantial tree, a substantial bush. You know, it's a very small thing, mm-hmm. in connection with the what's going on with the kingdom of God, you know, in the millennial time period, a very small little thing which is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, his resurrection. A small little thing can take root, and it's established, it's permanent, it's strong, it has some type of substance to it.
Mm-hmm.
It says it's likened, you know, it's a comparison. You know, and then it's a place of comfort, it's a place of lodging for these birds of the field.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a very, very small thing, but yet it produces something substantial.
Because sometimes unsaved people want to join a church, a big church.
Yes, they do.
What are some of the messages or the purposes do you think they have in joining this big church? Unsaved people. Probably some of them wrote it.
Saved, I don't know.
Well, it could be. Some of them for political reasons, if they could find people in that church that have some money and maybe they're doing business with them, some different thing. So this is possible, the trying to corrupt the ones that are there. I remember in a church that we had in Newton, Massachusetts, Emmanuel Baptist Church, it was a good-sized building, it was an older building, but a good-sized building, a number of people to start with, but they had some of these fellows that wanted to take over the whole thing, and they did, and we left and started another church, Faith Baptist Church, and then went back a few years, 10 years or 15, 20 years later, to visit Ann Arbor, Newton, Massachusetts, and that was just a place where they had groceries. I think it was a Greek Orthodox or Russian Orthodox church, and very few people were there, and it was just sort of a dead thing. But
it was a food
bank or something, just like we're across the street.
What was so interesting is Miss O'Hanian was there. She was there when it was, I don't know if she was the same lady. She was there when it was in American Baptist. She was there when that one man pulled it out of that. She was there for the next time. She was there when you were there.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happened, she stayed with
them. That's her church, no matter if it's modernist or liberal.
I can't figure it out.
That's her church. That's
no
her.
Matter what it turned into.
I guess I said Ann Arbor because I was thinking of when I was a student at the University of Michigan, we went to Grace Bible Church, and I went to visit there one time, and I looked at that church, no longer Grace Bible. It was this horrible modernistic thing completely, just gone haywire.
I don't think it was a church
anymore. It wasn't even a church, honey, was it? So I say these things, the devil comes in, the enemy sows the tares, and just ruins things. It's unfortunate indeed. All right, let's go to the next parable. I think we're in verse 33, are we?
I don't know.
33? Let's read 33 and 34 and 35 again. Another parable speaking unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable speaking not unto them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I have opened my mouth in parables, or other things which I have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. All right, so these are things. So what about this leaven? We'll just take this one little leaven thing again. What is leaven?
Well, it's a yeast that makes bread rise.
All right.
But in the scriptures, leaven is always bad.
Yes.
I remember, I think when it's first mentioned was in Egypt, the Israelites were about to prepare to leave, and they were to bake unleavened bread,
mm-hmm.
and there was not to be any leaven found in their houses.
Right.
And there's been repeated references to leaven. It's always evil.
Mm-hmm. And as the Lord said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, and they thought it was leaven But he said, not of the bread, but of the evil doctrine. False teachings is like one of the very poisons.
Well, I think that's the point of it here.
Mm-hmm.
He's directing this probably to the Pharisees, or at least concerning the Pharisees, mm-hmm. because they were the ones that were putting all this leaven in the law and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And what was I going to say? Nothing.
So, if this is yeast, I'm not a baker, but what do you do when you put yeast into dough? What happens to it?
It rises and grows.
Rises and grows. All right, so it's a big thing. Look at it, but apparently it's not the good thing here. It's left till the measures of it, till all was left. It just takes a while, but then pretty soon it permeates, right?
And like the scriptures say, a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump.
That's right. That's a good scripture right there. A little leaven.
It doesn't take very much to make it rise, and if the temperature, the conditions are right.
So this poison, that's why I believe the churches should have purity, if it were all possible, in their local churches, lest evil come in. And when evil comes in, it pretty well takes over the whole thing. It rises fast and gets all kinds of things. When false doctrine is permitted and heresy is in the church, there's no way to take it out. And of course, once you get a number out, in bigger churches, for example, where you have people that believe in things that are not scriptural, if a pastor begins to preach against those things that these people are doing that are unscriptural, what happens to those people? If you preach some things that they're doing that are unscriptural, what's happened to those people?
They get very upset.
Upset. What else would they do?
They leave.
They leave. If they can't. So in other words, so you've got to be very careful. Leaven, it permeates, and once poison is there, it just rapidly grows and grows and grows.
I think here, though, initially he's talking about the Pharisees, because the woman is thought to be... three measures of meal is thought to be the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Hmm. And the woman is Israel. In other words, Israel had leavened the gospel of the kingdom with the three things. The leaven of the Pharisees, remember he put in one place, the leaven of the Sadducees, and there's another one, the leaven of Herod. Hmm. And that was Israel had allowed all of these things, or put all of these things, really, the priests, or the Pharisees, the leaders had, mm-hmm. had were like the woman, they had put all this leaven in gospel of the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
What verse are we on again?
That was verse 33. Mm-hmm. So all these three things...
How do you know the woman is what he said it was?
Well, that's an interpretation, right? There are all kinds of interpretations of this. It's just what some people think, and we don't know. It's a mystery as to the details of it. It talks about the kingdom of heaven like unto leaven, like unto the mustard seed, like unto the seed. So in other words, all these three things, I believe, teach us by application, no matter what the real intent is, be careful about things entering in that are false. Heresy, false doctrine, false teaching, be very aware. Because if you don't keep them out before they come in, very hard to get rid of them, very hard. So save the sins in our own lives. Keep it out. Because once sin gets a hold of our lives, very hard to throw it out and kick it out. Another comments or questions?
Comment on the wheat and tares as to why God allows them to grow together. I mean, if it's the wheat is the believers, the Christians, the tares are the unbelievers, why are they allowed to grow together? Well, there might be one reason. This is just surmising. How about the unbelievers are continually a challenge or a reason for the believers to study the scriptures and be grounded in the scriptures so that they can keep from being tainted by the leaven or the tares or whatever the parable is.
Mm-hmm. Yes, very important. Any other comments or questions for us? What is that?
Well, leaven usually is a picture of sin, is it not?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure, I mean, not that usually, historically, we don't think of it, it's a good thing here, but maybe it's not a good thing. Maybe this is the influence of the world during this Kingdom of Heaven time period, which is yet to come, in the sense that eventually there will be, even though the Lord Jesus Christ is ruling with a rod of iron, during the millennial time period, there's still a rebellion that's building, and when Satan is loosed after the 1,000 years, then he's going to gather together all these nations, these individuals that have been rebelling against God internally, and he's going to try to once again to overthrow Christ and the millennial kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure if leaven, all throughout the scripture consistently, if leaven was supposed to be a bad thing, is it not?
Yes, that's right. What do the modernist liberals say about leaven? The leaven of the gospel, all the leaven of the gospel, all be wonderful. Was that right or wrong?
Wrong.
It's wrong. Leaven is always poison. That's evil.
That's why they're trying to build the kingdom now.
Yes.
On earth, they think if they have the kingdom,
mm-hmm.
then... Jesus Christ will come, or whatever they're going to build, they'll bring in the kingdom. Man's way, not God's.
Right. Any other comments or questions before we close? Come on.
I remember as a child hearing that the modernists, they think leaven is good.
That's right. They say the leaven of God's, they think it's wonderful. See? But God says evil. Purge out the old leaven as your new love. For even Christ our Passover is unleavened. Crucified for
yesterday. Yeah, I remember my dad telling, now this would be back in about 1913 or 14,
mm-hmm.
that the thing was in the big churches, the liberals, of course in those days they called them modernists.
Yes.
But same thing.
Right.
But they were all preaching that the church was going to bring in the kingdom, that the church was going to permeate the world and do away with evil. And,
mm-hmm.
and Dad said he had heard preachers say, oh, the world is getting better all the time.
Yeah.
And then the following year, what happened? World War I was declared.
Yeah.
And you didn't hear too much about getting better all the time
exactly.
from that point on.
Yes. Did Tammy?
There's a number of emails here.
Okay.
I missed them. The first one is from Wendy. Jude 1:4. There are certain men crept unawares, who were before of old ordained unto this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Good. Crept in unawares as men slept. Go ahead, Dan. That's good.
Okay, just a second here.
All right. Let's wave Wendy to Rick.
Here's another one from Wendy
Rick,
okay. So you're going to be waving a lot.
Well, that's all right. We'll let that one wave
set. Darnell, noun, a plant of the genus Lilium, a kind of grass. The most remarkable species are red Darnell or ryegrass and the white Darnell.
Mm-hmm.
Webster's 1828 dictionary, K through Z, tear, noun. I know not the origin of this word. See, next word. Number one, a weed that grows among corn, declares to us the parable of the tares of the field, Matthew 13. Number two, in agriculture, a plant of the vetch kind, of the which there are two sorts, the purple-flowered spring or summer tare, and the purple-flowered wild or winter tare. It is much cultivated in England for fodder. And then we have tare noun. Number one, in commerce, deficiency in the weight or quantity of goods by reason of the weight of the cask, bag, or other thing containing the commodity and which is weighed with it. Hence, the allowance or abatement of a certain weight or quantity from the weight or quantity of a commodity sold in a cask, chest, bag, or the like, which the seller makes to the buyer on account of the weight such cask, chest, bag, or the abatement may be on the price of commodity sold. When the tare is deducted, the remainder is called net or neat weight.
Yeah, the tare weight, that's another expression.
And then tare, verb transitive, to ascertain or mark the amount of tare. And tare, old PRT period, I'm not sure what that is, of tare, we now use tor. Okay, so that's
a long tear. Long to different meanings of the tear, but this one certainly is a plant. All right? Got something else, Dan?
Yes, this is, Dear Pastor Wade, hello and good evening to everyone. Thank you for tonight's Bible study from Joe and Norma Fascio.
Joe and Norma Fascio, way for them in California. Yes. Thanks for Joe and Norma.
Yes.
Anything else, Dan?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello, Saints. There was another book, While Men Slept, A Concerned Layman's View of the Church Today by L. Nelson Bell, Billy Graham's father-in-law in Christ. BFTB Chicago Contingency. Rob.
Rob, okay, Rob. Contingency up there. All right, Rob, thank you.
It was a political book.
There's still another one.
Yeah, it's a, wasn't it connected with the New American?
Yes, yeah. There was one of the political things. I think it's a Roman Catholic man that wrote different things, but I can't remember his name. He wrote another book, too, but I can't...
Maybe with an M?
Maybe, I can't remember.
Oh, well, that sounds like
it. Any other comments before we
go?
Well, let's close then with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this book of Matthew and Lord Jesus' teaching, the multitudes and parables. We ask Thee, Lord, that we may understand Thy words in clear fashion and help us not to sow anything that would be considered to be tares in our lives, certainly not leaven, certainly not anything that is bad and evil. Help us to keep our lives pure and clean and holy. The Lord Jesus Christ may be shining forth from these vessels of clay. Guide us by Thy Holy Spirit to bring us back on the Lord's Day, and may our services be honoring to Thee. Continue to use us to Thy glory. If there be those listening on vital means that are still unsaved, that are listening some in the audience and internet, may they come to our Savior and rejoice in His salvation. May thank Thee for it in Jesus' name for His sake. Amen.